Few young people grow up these days surrounded by their close relatives. The invasion of the home by TV. Television exposes family members to attitudes, philosophies, lifestyles which undermine the family unit. A deluge of outside the home activities. Too often the home has become a motel, a place to eat, sleep, change clothes before rushing off to the next activity. A disregard of biblical standards. Families have been traditionally established and maintained by Bible principles such as love, respect, duty, honor, humility, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, and diligence. We may need to sell our home. We may need to sell our house at some time, but let's never sell our homes. I thought it was an interesting article. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:8. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given many wonderful privileges in this life, and as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to have the ability to receive the impartation, dissemination of the thinking, the mind of Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is for us to realize the importance of having the thinking of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be dealing today with some things that I believe are extremely important for us as believers. And that is to get some type of an insight into what we really are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us have heard many times the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We understand regeneration, where God places us into His family. We have understood and studied the subject of the indwelling Christ. We've studied the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're studying now the subject of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A magnificent subject indeed. I trust that you will listen more attentively than you've ever listened before as we read these scriptures and do this study today. May we pray together first before we begin our scripture reading and study. Father, we realize the importance of being here today to open our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God, realizing that our lives on the earth at the longest are extremely short, and therefore it is extremely important that we, during the time that you allow us on this earth, live our lives in accordance with your divine plan. We're saved by your grace. We're kept by your grace. One of these days, we're going to leave this life by means of ultimate grace. You're going to take us home. While we're here, help us to understand the importance of living according to your divine plan. Direction. There are so many things for us to learn, and so while we're here, help us to be attentive. Help us to be alert. Help us to be enthusiastic about learning. We are grateful for a congregation that desires the dissemination of the Word of God. And that's our reason for being here today again. And so we pray that you will help us in these moments, because there's so much for us to receive during this period of time. So may we be attentive and in fellowship and ready to receive what you have for us. We pray and thank you for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, this is what you're going to see. What we have on the screen now is the verse in the original language and also in the translation. Do you not know that you are a temple, a shrine of God, and the Spirit of God in you dwells? We're going to spend a few moments exegeting this verse of Scripture from the original language. I do not want to get you so entangled in the words from the original language that you forget what we're doing, but I want you to see how powerful this passage of Scripture is. This morning, every person in this auditorium as a born-again believer, you have been the recipient of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, which means that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God worked the miracle of transformation, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to set up His abode in your life. That's the reason why when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian believers, and you know that the Apostle Paul is writing to believers, Christians, he says, do you not know, do you not understand that you, as an individual, you are a shrine, a temple of God? We pause for a moment on that and let you see that the word know here is a very important word, in that it is revealing to us the fact that it is something that has been known in the past. It is something that has been consummated in the past, and the result of the consummation of that information continues to this very present moment. That's the meaning of a perfect tense verb. A perfect tense verb simply means that information has been received, information has been accepted, and the results of that information continues to this very present moment. I'm not sure how many times I need to say that. I've said it twice now, but I want you to see how powerful this is. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying to the Corinthian believers, do you not know? Do you not understand? Do you not comprehend? Are you not fully aware of the fact that since you've been born into God's kingdom, it happened in the past? The result of that great transformation took place in the past. And as a result of that great transformation, at this very moment, you are a member of the family of God. Do you not know? Do you not understand? Do you not comprehend that you, individual, you are a shrine, a temple of God? Many people use the terminology, and I hear it sometimes with great amusement, when they say in reference to a particular church building, we have a lovely sanctuary. They use that terminology, and I understand what they're referring to, but I'm aware of the fact that there's no building anywhere on the earth, no matter how gorgeous and beautiful it is, that is a sanctuary. A sanctuary is where God lives. God dwells. And this verse of Scripture, along with other verses, are telling us that you, as a born-again believer, you make up that temple, that shrine, that sanctuary. So always remember that. In the future, when people refer to their church building as a gorgeous, magnificent, beautiful sanctuary, you just smile inside and understand that that building, no matter how beautiful it is not the temple of God. Individuals born into God's kingdom, they are, we are the temple, the shrine of God. That's what this says right here. Do you not know that you are a shrine, a temple of God? I'm not sure that we really realize the importance of that statement. As you leave here, as you go through your work week, you have to understand that whatever you're doing throughout this coming week, you're moving around as a temple, a shrine, a sanctuary of God. That's important for us to see. And I want us to understand that the verse continues and says, and the Spirit of God in you dwells. If you look at these words carefully, you will see that there is the word pneuma, which is the Spirit. You see an article, the, tou, T-O-U. You see the noun, proper noun, God, in the genitive case, with the same suffix as the article, which says, the Spirit of God in you dwells. And you'll notice that the word dwell there is the Greek word oikeo, O-I-K-E-O. And the way that the word is used, it's very important, and that is continues to live, present tense. Subject produces the action. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. So you have 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Now on the screen, you're going to see a definition. You may not be able to see this clearly from where you're sitting, and that's okay. If you're writing this definition down, I'm going to give it a number of times so that we can understand at the very outset what we mean when we talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, coming to make His residence inside the believer at the moment that a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. That person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. That person accepts Jesus Christ as Lord. In a little while, we'll be looking in detail at 1 Corinthians 6:19 and Galatians 3:2. Just let you know that those are verses that we'll be using in the second session. We have an understanding here that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit coming to make His residence inside the believer at the moment that that person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Please let me say that enough times that you can be sure that you understand what we mean when we're talking about what the Bible teaches, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is God, the Holy Spirit, coming to set up His residence inside of our lives. And so we have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We have accepted Him as our Lord. And we are the recipients of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, which places us into the family of God. Now, that's the first sentence that you see on the screen. Next, while the indwelling Spirit never leaves the Christian, the person may or may not be in, the Holy Spirit may or may not be in control of the person's life. While the indwelling Spirit never leaves the Christian, the Holy Spirit may or may not be in control of the life. Most of us understand the difference between the words permanent and temporary. I think all of us understand that. Permanent, temporary. Be sure that you get in your mind as we study the ministries of the Holy Spirit that there are certain aspects of the Holy Spirit that the Bible presents as permanent, and there are certain aspects of the Holy Spirit that the Bible presents as temporary. If you'll get those two words in mind, permanent, temporary, it's important for you to keep that in mind as we go through the study. For instance, when we speak of the subject, the indwelling Christ, we say permanent. When we say the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we say permanent. When we say the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we say permanent. When we say the filling of the Holy Spirit, we say temporary. So now you can see what I'm trying to drive out to you. Christians are never in the church age commanded to be baptized or indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Please understand, let me say it again. Christians are never in the church age. We're living in the church age from Pentecost on the one hand to the resurrection of the body of Christ or the rapture on the other hand. We're never in the Word of God commanded to be baptized or indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The reason for that is because the baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit are permanent experiences, if you want to use the word experiences. There's one act of indwelling. There's one act of baptism. And this occurs at the point of regeneration. This occurs at the point when you were born into God's kingdom. Now, have I left this on the screen long enough for you to get it down? I trust I have. I want you now to take a look at a picture you've seen many, many times. This is an emphasis upon the timeline, an emphasis upon the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel. The church age, you will see that we have enlarged that so you can see it more clearly. And this is, of course, where we're now living in the church age. After the church age, there is the 7 years of tribulation and then the millennium. We've studied this many, many times, but I want you to see the reason that I'm putting this on the screen is to let you see that we're dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church age. And we're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I repeat, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit coming to make His residence inside the believer at the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, have I said this enough times? Have you thought it through? And have I allowed you some seconds to think about this? You realize that you, as a born-again believer, body, soul, spirit, and you realize that this body is a growing old body. It is an aging body. It is a body that is getting older as the days go by. Even you young people, I want you to know that you're getting older. And every day you live, you're living another day, and you're getting older. And you're not going to be on this earth for 200 or 300 years. You're going to leave this life one of these days. I'm trying to tell you that the body, though you may think it's very, very important, and it is, it's not the most important facet about you or me. This is a dying body. But I want you also to see that since you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit regenerated you, placed you into God's family, and the Holy Spirit came and set up His abode in your life. And so you and I now, as born-again believers, have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I've said that now 4 or 5 different ways. So I repeat, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, coming to make His residence inside the believer at the moment that that person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you that I enjoy studying the Bible. I have to tell you that I enjoy presenting for myself and for you information in all these various subjects. And I want you to know that sometimes when I'm studying, I go page after page of typing information. And it's always amazing to me when I think in terms of you folk, and I think in terms of the number of pages I have of information. And then I come back and I say, you know what? They may not want that many pages of information. And so I abbreviated. And so what I'm going to do, first of all, is to give you my abbreviated form. And then, if some of you are willing to stay with us in the second service, I want you to know that I'm going to give more than the abbreviated form. We're going to deal with the subject of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in an extended way. Now, I just know I can see you almost fainting now, but that's okay. Here we go. First of all, I want you to see that I put on the screen a few moments ago the verse of Scripture which you have in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First of all, let's look at this. This is the abbreviated form. The indwelling Holy Spirit is a fact in the age of grace. That's the reason why I put on the screen a few moments ago the timeline and put the age of grace there, which is the church age from Pentecost to the rapture. The indwelling Holy Spirit is a fact of the church age. And this is presented to us in a number of passages of Scripture, like Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you will use your Bible this morning, let's go to Romans chapter 8, and let's go down to verse 9 and see what we have. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I'm giving you time to find it. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now let's look at that very carefully. We're looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit indeed, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Very interesting, isn't it? Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Now, if you will, please, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's see what we can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and go over to verses 19 and 20. We're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture in detail in the next session, but let's look at it now just briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. It's amazing to me when the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is writing to these Corinthian believers, and he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Let's look at that very carefully. Verse 19, do you not know that your body is a sanctuary, a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Look at verse 20. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, if you will, please, let's go on over to the book of Galatians. I'm giving you time to turn to these passages of Scripture. If you will, go to Galatians chapter 3. And let's go down to verse 2. What do we have there? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? If you'll underline that verse of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatian believers, is saying, I want to understand some things. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or did you receive the Spirit by faith? If you'll glance down to chapter 4 and verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, I've given you these verses of Scripture, and I've even gone to them and read them to you. First, number one, the indwelling Holy Spirit is a fact in the age of grace, the church age, Romans 8, 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, if you will, please, let's look at number two. The prophecy of the indwelling Holy Spirit is found in the Gospel of John. So we'll open our Bibles now to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. We're looking at verses 37, 38, and 39. Please remember that the Holy Spirit was promised. The Holy Spirit came in manifestation on the day of Pentecost. John chapter 7 is a prophecy of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for the time of the church age. As I said before, I repeat now, you and I are living in the church age. We're living between Pentecost and the rapture. How many times do I need to say that? We have to understand where we're living. We're living between the Pentecost time, the day of Pentecost, and the rapture. So this is the age of grace, the church age. When you go to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're discovering that this is a prophecy in relationship to the coming of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the church age. And so let's read now John chapter 7. We go down to verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." You follow that? You see how fantastic that is? So there you have the prophecy of the indwelling Holy Spirit in John chapter 7, verses 37. 38, 39. If you will, please, now, let's go to John chapter 14. And let's look down at verses 16 and 17. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind." The Greek word is allon. It is another of the same kind. "I give you another comforter, helper." We're looking at John 14, verse 16. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, helper, paraclete, that he may be with you forever." Now look at this. "And I will ask the Father, he will give you another comforter," verse 17, "that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." Now, have I gone slowly enough? Now, this is against my nature. I go faster than this. But I'm trying to go slowly on this first presentation to let you see how powerful this subject is, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a fact in the age of grace. Number two, the prophecy of the Holy Spirit in the church age, John 7, 37 to 39, John 14, 16, and 17. Roman numeral 3, the function of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is the grace system of comprehension. Now let me pause. There may be someone here who's new that hasn't heard this before. There may be people who've heard this 1,000 times or more, and that's okay. The grace system of comprehension simply means that God has, by his magnificent grace, given us the means by which we can comprehend the Word of God. This is the reason why I say it over and over again. We have to be in harmony. We have to be in fellowship. We have to be cleansed of sin. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to receive what God has for us. So when we come to study the Bible, be sure that you pray, that you are in fellowship with the Lord, you're cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then God is giving you at that time a system which we call the grace system of comprehending the truth. I'm aware of the fact that your IQ and my IQ is not the determining factor. The determining factor is the grace system of comprehension. Some people say, "Well, I don't have a very high IQ, so I can't learn the Word of God." Well, to say that is saying that God is not able to give me the ability to comprehend truth. So don't do that, please, because it is God's means by which he gives us the ability to comprehend truth. It's a grace system of comprehension. So, lest I get too carried away, the function of the indwelling Holy Spirit is the grace system of comprehension. God's grace plan for the believer in this age, the age of grace, is to be perceptive to God and to be perceptive to his wonderful word. Now, let me be sure that you're able to see the emphasis here. In other words, perceptive to God, perceptive to His Word, to maintain harmony, to absorb, assimilate, appropriate the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm enjoying this because I want you to see that this congregation, for more than 40 years, you've heard this time and time again, and that is the importance of being in harmony with the Lord, receiving the impartation and dissemination of the Word, taking this truth in, mixing it and believing it, applying it, utilizing it, metabolizing it, and making it a part of our life on a daily basis. We maintain our harmony, we absorb, we assimilate, we appropriate the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, the indwelling Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the indwelling Christ. Let's pause for a moment and let you think now again. The indwelling Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the indwelling Christ. Christ indwells for the purpose of fellowship. Christ indwells for the purpose of fellowship. And the believer is not always in fellowship. You have to begin to see how fantastic this is. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, permanent. Indwelling Christ, we have to understand, is for fellowship. And the believer is not always in fellowship. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit, permanent. Indwelling of Christ, temporary. And then there are so many verses about this. Romans 8:10, 2 Corinthians 13:5, Ephesians 3:17, and our scripture which we looked at and will look at again, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. I know what you're saying. Let's look these verses up. But I have to hasten because I want you to see, I'd like to get through the introductory part of the message before the break. So I'm moving along slowly. But I want you to see now, again, repeat number four. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the indwelling Christ. Christ indwells for the purpose of fellowship. And the believer is not always in fellowship. So we have to comprehend the meaning of those two. Indwelling Holy Spirit, indwelling Christ. Number five, the indwelling Holy Spirit must be distinguished also from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Indwelling occurs at the point of salvation. Galatians 3:2, filling of the Holy Spirit provides functional power and depends upon saturation of truth as the fuel. Most of you will remember that Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." In other words, what that passage of Scripture is saying, it is possible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is possible not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesian believers, said, "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." So it is God's plan for us as believers to be sure that we admit our sins, our mistakes, our faults, our failures, and allow Him to fill us. And that's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to understand that there's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Ephesians 4:30, 1 John 5:19. Number six, the purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit is to provide power for the Christian life. Let's be sure that we look at this very carefully. The purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit is to provide power. The word power here is the Greek word dunamis, dynamite. The purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit is to provide dynamite, power, for the Christian life. To neutralize the control of the old sin nature, Galatians 5:16-18, and to make possible spiritual advance. What we're seeing here is that you and I understand that God has given us the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit is to neutralize the control of our old sinful nature. And we all have a sinful nature. And so let's go, please, to the book of Galatians. And let's look at chapter 5. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn to that passage of Scripture. And let's look, please. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatian believers. And in Galatians chapter 5, here's what we find in verses 16, 17, and 18. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Then verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that there's another passage of Scripture that we'll be looking at the next session, and I want to introduce it now. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. I want you to see how fantastic this passage is. This is going to sound somewhat familiar because a little bit ago I gave you a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but now look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is the shrine of the Holy Spirit? That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? It's different, though, than the verse we looked at earlier. Do you not know that your body, the body, is the temple, the sanctuary, the shrine of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, notice now, which you have from God. But notice something else. You are not your own. You're not your own. And look at verse 20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. The reason I'm introducing this now is because I want you to see, when we get into the next session, how powerful this Scripture is. Please notice that the passage of Scripture says, do you not know? Do you not comprehend? Do you not understand that your body is the shrine, the sanctuary, the home of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? And you have this from God. And you and I are not our own. We don't really belong to ourselves. For you were bought with a price. I don't know what this does to you, but I want you to realize that this is a unique expression. You were bought with a price. When I look at this word bought here, I see that it says, in essence, the subject receives the action of the verb. There's not anything in this world that can take you to heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. If you ever get to heaven, the only way you're going to get there is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But those of us who realize we've been bought with a price, we've been saved by grace, we understand the passive voice. We're the recipients of having been bought with a price. The indicative mood of this verb says it's real. You can put it down. It is real. The reality of the verb is presented here. You're bought with a price. What is our responsibility? Since we're bought with a price, glorify God in your body. Soma. Here's the word somati. But look at this. Glorify. At a point of time. Points of time. Aorist tense. Active voice. Each individual is responsible. I could come by and down this aisle and sit by you as an individual, but I could say to you, I can't do this for you. You can't do this for me. This verse of scripture says each person is to do this himself, herself. Glorify God at points of time. You do it. Active voice. Imperative verb. It's a command. You and I are responsible because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to continually, day by day, glorify God in our bodies. No one else can do that for you. You and I have to do it individually. What a challenge. And I'm challenged by the fact that I have about 23 pages of notes for the next session, and I know I can't possibly do that, but that's okay. We'll be here for a while, but I'll let you out in plenty of time. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. We close our service this morning by reminding those who hear, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that salvation could be yours if you'll trust Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, that's Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. How fantastic it is for me to be able to tell you that if you will just trust Him now, right there where you are, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him as your Savior, He'll save you. He said He would. He doesn't lie. He tells the truth. He will save you if you'll trust Him. All of us who have accepted Him, we must realize the importance of glorifying God during the time that the Lord lets us live on the earth. It's not going to be long, at the longest. So we're responsible for honoring Him, glorifying Him, realizing how great it is to know that we're the recipients of that indwelling Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.